The Seekonk Speedway podcast series is a production of Seekonk Speedway and Sousa Media. For more information on Sousa Media, visit kylesousa.com. And for more information on Seekonk Speedway, visit seekonkspeedway.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Another edition of the Seekonk Speedway Race Day Rewind podcast series is underway. Once again, my name is Kyle Sousa, the owner and operator of Sousa Media. Of course, also a member of the Seekonk Speedway team. And man, we had some great racing. Finally, Mother Nature helping us out to give us two consecutive days of racing. All the action on this podcast took place on Friday night, June 23rd, and Saturday night, June 24th. We also have, there's my alarm to call our guest, which I'm going to get on the podcast here in a moment. But Saturday night, we had the NASCAR divisions back in action. Just the fourth race of the season for the NASCAR divisions at Seekonk Speedway. Fast Friday also competing in their fourth race of the year. You would never believe it, given that Fast Friday started at the end of May and NASCAR Saturday started at the beginning of May. Just the way the weather's worked here in the early portion of the season. And those of you that live in the area know, not been ideal for racing, not been ideal for outdoor activity on the weekends in general. It's impacted us. But nonetheless, Mother Nature, again, allowing us to compete in both Fast Friday and NASCAR Saturday racing. We're going to recap Fast Friday. Then we will have our guest on. He's a front runner in the Sport 4 division so far this year. We'll talk to him. We will also come back and recap our Saturday night program. And then we will recap our upcoming events. Specifically, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, it would be Open Wheel Wednesday coming up on June 28th. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's start off with our rapid fire recap segment. First for Fast Friday. As the Seekonk Grand Prix Bandolero Bandits hit the track first 15 laps of competition, and after that, when it was the defending champion picking up the win, the Green Hornet, Sam Macedo, in Everett's Auto Parts Victory Lane, car number 16, first win of the year for him, won the championship last year without winning a feature race. This year, able to get that out of the way in the fourth race of the season, taking down the win. Parker Davis and Nick Yurig Jr. battled real hard coming down to the line for the runner-up spot. Those two drivers also on the podium in this one, and a continuing theme in this division early on in the season as Yurig, Davis, and Macedo are really the three top cars in this division so far. Fourth place in this one, also a nice run here. Jace Chaber and Mason Sylvia and Mike Hannafin right there battling for fourth at the end. Rider Aguiar was also involved in this race, and Wuka Dib out of it early in the number 13. So again, Macedo, Ewing, and Hannafin along with Davis. Those four drivers have been very consistent so far this season. And on Friday night, it was Macedo taking down his first win of the season in the Seekonk Grand Prix Bandolero Bandits. As of the recording of this podcast, the results are unofficial in that division due to some technical questions. So again, depending on when you're listening, as of Monday, June 26th, those are unofficial. Stay tuned to the website if anything changes there. The other Bandolero division has the same driver that has now won 3 out of 4, and the other driver has been on the podium in each and every one of them. Ryan Van Ness Jr. picked up his third feature win of the season. He won week one and then won weeks 3 and 4 so far. Another dominating performance here for the Bottle Rocket, as they like to call him, the Young Rocket. Ryan Van Ness Jr., man, that thing is on fire in the early going of this season in the number 11. The back and yellow machine started in the middle of the pack, chased his way to the front of the field, and was able to rocket to victory lane once again. Second place in this one, again, a great run for Brent Robidoux. That's 2 second place finishes in a row. He won in week 2 and finished 3rd in week 1. So he has been a very, very consistent registered driver in the number 25. So Brent Robidoux been very strong behind the wheel of that number 25, along with his brother Bryson in the number 38. Colin Van Ness, though, finishing 3rd in Friday night's main event. A very good run for him behind the wheel of the 78. Man, his win is coming. And when I say that, I mean it. It is going to be a very, very competitive season for the driver, the number 78. And I do expect him to get into Everett's Auto Parts Victory Lane before too long. Good run, though, on Friday night for 3rd. For him, and you know, I think a little bit of a confidence booster there after he struggled a couple of weeks ago. Spun out, I believe he was in the lead when he spun out on his own, and was able to rebound there for a decent finish, and does a nice job on Friday finishing in the 3rd spot. in the number 78. Fourth spot in this one, Andrew Gomes. First time we see him up there in the top five. Actually, second time we see him finishing fourth. He also finished third a couple of weeks ago. So he's been up there consistently so far early in the season. And rounding up the top five was Ben Morbido, who won a race in the Bandits last year. A part-time comer to the Speedway from New York and did a nice job there on Friday, finishing in the fifth position. Bandolero divisions have been great. The Outlaw division on Friday night starting something like 16 cars. Seriously, it looked like Talladega the first few laps with the way they were jostling out there in the track, but clean, competitive, and fast in the Bandolero Outlaws so far in 2023, along with the Bandits, Sam Macedo and the Bandits, and Ryan Vaness Jr. in the Outlaws, your two winners. Sport 4 division also came down to a four-way battle for the checkered flag, and man, another good race here, this time for the lead between Tyler Duhanchuk and Henry LaValle. LaValle gets out front in the middle stages of this race, kind of felt like maybe he would be in position to get the win, but Tyler Duhanchuk chased him down after a tough couple weeks for him. 2 weeks ago, he hit the wall extremely hard in the front straightaway, wrecked the car. He came back a week later, had a decent run, but nothing really to jump up and down about in the number 48, just kind of getting his feet wet back in the division with a second-place finish. I know, you know, I say not to jump up and down, and at the time that was a big deal for him finishing second, but not really up to his standards. Obviously, he wants to win, and on Friday night, he was able to pull that off, taking down the win in a real photo finish between him and Henry LaValle for the lead. They battled side by side for the, I would say, 7-8 laps at the finish, and Duhanchuk able to edge out and take down the win. Close finish, though, in the Sport 4 division on Friday night, and it was at the line. 0.141 was the gap between Duhanchuk and LaValle, so 1/10 of a second. Jared Freitas coming home in third. Another good run to open the season for him. Crystal Murray came home in fourth, following up her win from the week before. And rounding out the top five was Justin LeDuc in the number 02. You take a look at the point standings in the Sport 4, and it confirms the consistent drivers so far. Jared Freitas and Henry LaValle are tied at the top of the championship. Richie Johnson and Crystal Murray are tied for third. Taylor Bowser rounds out the top five early going. Duhanchuk rebounding and climbs his way back up to eighth in the championship. Remember, with the playoff system, you just want to be in the top eight by the time we get to the end of August. So all these guys are in good spots right now, guys and girls. Taylor Bowser, fifth. Daniel Hayes and Mikey LaForte, sixth and seventh. So we'll watch this division over the course of the summer. But a big congratulations to Tyler Duhanchuk, the Phil's Propane team, for their hard work, perseverance, and getting back to victory lane just the second week back from a nasty wreck. Friday night was the first time in 2023 we saw a different winner in the Helger South Coast Power Equipment Sportsman. Danny Massa parks it in victory lane for the first time. Started on the pole, led the whole race, and dominated this one. Scott Sestodio had won the first three events in this division. Not able to do it, though, on Friday night. Was involved in a couple skirmishes. Comes home with 38 points. In this one, he had 50 points in the first three races as winner. Friday night, that 38 points means he finished in seventh spot. Up front, really Massa's race to control. Mike Hendricks finished in second. Ethan Souza third. Sammy Lincoln fourth. And fifth was Timmy Ouellette. You look at the championship standings. Off to a great start this year for Sestodio. But Mike Hendricks as well, not to be overshadowed in that number 03. He's got finishes of fifth or better in all the races. And Ethan Souza as well, finishes of sixth or better in all the races in the early going of the season. So I know Sestodio's got three feature wins in four races, but he's not been the only car running consistently at the front. However, he has been the one to victory lane. So three wins for Sestodio, one now for Danny Massa. The Pure Stock's off to another good start here in 2023. And the other feature on Friday night to recap was the Nick's Pit Stop Legend Cars. Round one here at the Evans Auto Parts Triple Crown Series and a very competitive race in that one up at the front of the field. A tight battle between some of the top contenders in this division included Chase Sylvia in just his fourth oval legend car race, coming home in the second position. Josh Parsons led most of this race. Brandon LaBelle was able to pass him with just a few laps to go. And LaBelle is 3-for-3 in 2023. He did miss 1 week. So we've run four races. I know he's won three of them. He did miss that one, but he's 3-for-3 when he competes in a legend car race at Seekonk in 2023 so far. LaBelle took down the win. I mentioned Sylvia. Phenomenal run for him after winning so many races in the Bandolero Outlaws last year. He's able to come home here in the second spot in just his fourth race in a legend. So very competitive run there. Josh Parsons finished in third. Good run for him. Riley Paul, invading Seekonk as an outsider, had a great run here, finishing fourth. And Jacob Burns was fifth in the number 13. Mason Tessier was in the sixth position just behind him. Early going in the Legend cars, Jacob Burns off to a good start along with Josh Parsons. They are at the top of the championship standings. And again, I must say, as of the recording of this podcast, the official results in the Legend cars have not been done. So still unofficial due to tech. And as of right now, that's the finish. But stick with us on Facebook and our website. If anything changes, we will be sure to let you know on that in our Fast Friday results for the Legend cars and the Bandits. Those two divisions were still TBD for the final results at this time. We're going to take a quick break on this week's edition of the Race Day Rewind podcast. When we come back, we're going to welcome Jared Freitas, the Sport 4 regular, who is off to a very impressive start in his 2023 season, including an opening night win. Stay with us, and we will chat with him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Second segment of this week's edition of the Seekonk Speedway Race Day Rewind Report. As I mentioned in segment one, of course, we are recapping all the action that took place on 2 days of racing, June 23rd and June 24th. Mother Nature helping us out a little bit to get two nights in. Fast Friday, four nights in, only one rain out for them so far this year. NASCAR Saturday not been as lucky. And our guest here in the second segment of this week's podcast is one driver who has been very competitive so far in 2023, was competitive last year as well in the Sport 4 division on Fast Friday, but really breaking out in the early portion of this season with a victory on opening night and then following it up here with a couple of great runs in the last couple of weeks. That is Jared Freitas. And Jared, before we get started with talking about 2023, which has obviously started off well, let's talk about your racing history here. Maybe some of the fans wondering, where has Jared come from? How did he end up here in the Sport division? Why don't you walk us through the path here to get to this division on Friday nights?
Just fell in love with NASCAR when I was a kid and then started going to the track probably 97, I think, was my first time, and just absolutely fell in love with it, and it was something that I would hope to want to do one day, and messed around a little bit a long, long time ago, like in the early 2000s for a season or two, and then just got the urge to get back in it the past couple of years. So it's been a good time.
Well, so Jared's driving car number 04, and this is a car that Jayden Hamilton had driven previous years before moving on to the Legend car division on Fast Friday. Jared, what's your relationship with Jayden? And I'm sure that helped aid getting you out there, as you two seem to be pretty good friends and work together on this thing.
Yeah, I drove his car last year, and I'm back in a car for myself this year. I drove two or three years ago in 2021, he had a Mitsubishi. We just got kind of hooked up over the internet, started talking back and forth, and just like basically became brothers and worked together on different ideas and stuff like that. And I definitely wouldn't have had any of my success without him. And then my car in 21 up at League, we went to the Oktoberfest in the year and got a crash and it got destroyed. So with him moving up to Legend, he let me drive his car last year because I was probably about going to be done. So I was fortunate for that. We had a good year last year, then picked up another chassis this past year over the off season and started working on it late January and built it up to what we have going on right now.
Well, it's certainly been very competitive. Let's talk about the beginning start of the season here. I mean, you won opening night, second in week two, had a third this past week. And I know you didn't finish in the top five a couple of weeks ago, but still was a pretty good run for you. What's been into the success here? Obviously, you, Henry, Crystal have been some of the more competitive and some of the drivers competing for the wins. This past Friday night, Jared Duhanchik rebounded after a wreck a couple weeks ago and got the win. It seems like you know, the group of the four or five of you are off to a very impressive start here, and I'm sure you're happy to be in that list.
Yeah, I definitely am. I don't know, just a lot of hard work and just trying to pay attention to every little thing, and it's paid off. And definitely fortunate to have come out as strong as we have been this year. I can't really pinpoint it to one definite thing. I'm just really fortunate to be going as good as we are right off the bat. It's a blast racing with people like Crystal and them, like right up front. It's just good, hard, clean racing. Tyler, everybody. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, obviously Friday night's race I mentioned in the previous segment was a really good race for the Sport 4 division. Not that they don't have good races. Don't take that like this is the first ever by any means. But considering what this division can offer with all these competitive drivers, for four drivers to basically be under a blanket as they came to the white flag and raced that out in the final lap, it was very impressive. And obviously one exciting race that we look at and I'm sure we'll look back at and remember as the season goes along throughout 2023. Jared, obviously you want to get in the drive for the cup again this year. You want to be a contender for the championship, but do you have other goals other than the championship here? I'm sure you want to win. What are you looking at here as the rest of the season comes along?
Yeah, just maintain consistent. It's nice getting on the podium and be able to get a sponsor plug in there, but it just, yeah, I'd be more than happy to get another win or two, obviously, is always a goal, but just maintain consistency and try to still be there at the end of the year. Just keep up the pace all year long.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to be difficult for all these drivers as we get into the summer. The track changes, especially with the new pavement this year, a lot of changes going on there with the setups, I'm sure. So it will be interesting to see how the consistency gets along, but certainly in the early part of the season, Jared's been a master of it. In the early couple races here, along with Hemingway Valley, those two have really come along well in the beginning part of the season and very consistent, and that is the reason why they are at the top of the championship standings in a complete tie after 4 weeks with 184 points. Jared, you mentioned those sponsors, those people. I know there's some people you want to give a thanks to that are able to help you out and get you out there on the track and make you be able to have the funds you need, the equipment you need, and everything else to be able to race at this level.
Yeah, I was very fortunate this past off season. I met a guy at my gym just BS and talking about different things, and I told him that I race, and he thought it was really cool and would like to have, you know, he wanted to come on board and be a part of it. So he definitely stepped up big time. I'm very fortunate. It's called Whalen City Collectibles. He buys and sells gold, silver, coins, currency, all that kind of stuff. He's in Fairhaven, and that's been a huge asset. And then I got my father and I's family business, LH Belanger in New Bedford. We rebuild starters and alternators, and I'm very fortunate to work for a family business where I could sneak out early on a Friday to get up to the track. So,
yeah,
just lucky.
It certainly helps. And honestly, most of these drivers that race on Fast Friday, I imagine even for somebody like myself that works, it's very difficult to hop out of there, not at 5 o'clock on a Friday, but realistically probably at 2:30 or 3 and make it to the track. So, Jared, we appreciate a few minutes. It's been a pleasure to learn about your racing history a little bit. Not a ton there, but actually surprising to see somebody like this come in with not a ton of experience and be very competitive. Shows a lot to what you and your team have been able to do here the last couple of years. And certainly appreciate you joining us, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you maybe down the line again here as you continue to race, try and win, and maybe compete for that championship in the Sport 4.
All right, I appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks a lot for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jared. That's been Jared Freitas, and we're going to continue right on here on this week's edition of the podcast and talk about some of our Saturday racing that took place as my phone hits the floor. Sorry for that slam if you're listening on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to chat with Jared first. Want to appreciate and thank him for joining us on this week's edition of the podcast, and good insight there from him on this Sport 4 division. Saturday night, returning to the track, we had all four of our NASCAR divisions, the Pro Stocks, the Late Models, the Sportsman, and the Trucks. It was Triple Crown racing in the Everett's Auto Parts Triple Crown for the Pro Stocks and the Trucks. I'm going to take a quick break and pick up my phone that just about shattered on the floor here. When we come back, we'll recap those four Saturday races. I promise, stick with us here, we'll be right back. As promised, final section of this week's edition of the podcast. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening. Real pleasure to come on here and talk to some of our drivers. Of course, Jared Freitas is joining us on this week's edition, but many drivers over the course of the season chatting with us here in the podcast. And if you're out there, again, you want to hear a driver or a specific driver or somebody else, a staff member, let us know here. Comment when we put it up on Facebook every week. Send the track a message on Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook, Kyle Souza, or the Souza Media page, and I'll do my best to try to get that accomplished for you. Again, thanks to Jared, and two great nights of racing in the books as part of the podcast here. Let's move on. Big one coming up Wednesday night as the Monaco Modified Tri-Track Series is back in town. Again, depending on when you're listening to this, it's hard for me to say if it's already happened or not. But if you're catching it before Wednesday, big one coming up. The Open Wheel Wednesday returns for the 18th annual Modified Madness 100. No surprise here. This is going to attract some of the top talent in modified racing with a $10,000 prize on the line. This event started back in 2005. A very historic event when you think of big open modified races in New England. Certainly one of those up there that's at the top of the list of excitement. And $10,000 on the line again, sanctioned by the Tri-Track Series. Names like Matt Hirschman, who picked up the dominating win in the Wheel and Modified Tour event at Seekonk a couple of weeks ago, will be involved in this one. He's a five-time winner of the $10,000. 50 grand this guy's taken from Seekonk Speedway just in this event over the 18 years it's been going on. Never mind what he won in the tour race and what he's collected in the races he didn't win in. So a very, very, very phenomenal record there for Matt Hirschman. No surprise. Doug Kobe will be involved in this one. Behind the wheel of the number 10, the Mayu Tools entry. Chris Pastriak, Chase Dowling will be a part of this one. Les Hinckley's another name everybody's probably familiar with. Woco Flair here with Jake Johnson, former Legend Car champion and late model winner, competing in this one. Big time modified names like Ronnie Silk, Austin Beers involved, Kyle Bonsignor, Ronnie Williams, of course, the winner of the Tri-Track opener back at Thunder Road, Sammy Ramo. How can you forget a guy like Kirk Alexander, Woody Pitcat, Anthony Nasella, Richard Savory? Nice list of cars preparing to compete here in the $10,000 to win main event behind the wheel of their open wheel modifieds. Again, this event coming up Wednesday night, June 28th, $10,000 to win, 100 laps for the modifieds. We will also have the NEMA Midgets in town for the 50-lap main event, and the 350 Smack Supers will also be in town. The Super Modified, the Small Box, will be here for this one. A good race, really. Great race program for the middle of the week coming up Wednesday night, June 28th. Buy your tickets online. As always, I say it every week, but you can save money, first of all, and you can save the gates. You won't have to wait in the lines. That's really big. I hate lines, and if you... go out there and buy your tickets online at seekonkspeedway.com. You don't have to wait in those lines. You can just walk right up with your ticket and head on into the track. So, big event on Wednesday night, June 28th. Definitely want to see y'all at Open Wheel Wednesday. More information on that is online at seekonkspeedway.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook behind the wheel of their modifieds, their super modifieds, and their midgets. They will be at the third mile on Wednesday night. Saturday night, July 1st, we also have another night of NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Racing Series action plan. We are off on Fast Friday. A little bit of confusion for some people on this one. There is no Fast Friday racing this week. Want to make that clear. June the 30th, no Fast Friday racing. So Saturday night, the stars are back of the NASCAR divisions. Round number 2 of the Triple Crown Series is coming up, and that is going to be for the Chaz's Auto Body, the Helger South Coast Power Equipment Sportsman. Second round of the Triple Crown will be coming up. First round of the Triple Crown is now complete for all Saturday divisions. We're on to round 2. We had round 2 for the trucks last week. And round number 1 for the sportsmen coming up this week on Saturday night. Round number 2. 35 laps for them. Round 1, of course, came right down to the end between Chad Baxter in the number 0 and the outside lane with Steve Axon. Axon edged him out for the win across the stripe. And we'll see how it shakes out here. 35 laps on Saturday night. We also have round number 1 of 75-lap races for the year for the Pro Stocks. Actually, I think it's the only 75-lap race. Second week in a row, extra distance there as they prepare for battle with the American Racer 75. Now, very competitive race coming up here on Saturday night. $2,000 to win, $1,500 for second, and $1,100 for third. It is going to be a great, great, great race on Saturday. 75 laps, extra distance, a little bit of a close battle coming up between some of our contenders as the championship chase continues there in the Pro Stocks, but really big money on the line here, $2,000 to win in this one. We'll have the late models also on hand along with the Chaz Auto Body Sport Trucks for regular feature racing in this one. Tickets again for Saturday night, also available in advance online at seekonkspeedway.com as they are for all events. Don't forget, July 7th, Fast Friday is back, and July 8th, our Independence Day Thrill Show. the best fireworks show in New England, and more. Again, you can buy your tickets for all these events coming up at SeaConSpeedway.com right through the end of the season. Well, that's it for this week's edition of the podcast. I think I've talked enough. Thanks to Jared Freitas for joining us. A great recap of our Fast Friday racing from June 23rd and 24th. And, of course, previewing Open Wheel Wednesday and July 1st in the NASCAR Saturday racing. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks to Ed St. Germain for pushing the buttons behind the scene. Thanks to our supporters and our listeners. Most importantly, we will see you at the races here as 2023 rolls on. And finally, the sun on a Saturday night.